Talking with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, of course, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. Congressman, of course, the big thing this week, State of the Union address on Tuesday evening. Your reaction, your thoughts from, you know, put your House Ag Committee hat on. What did you hear, good, bad, or indifferent from the president?
I say the overall tune of my observation was he's still a very government-oriented guy. And he talked about all his solutions. The government was going to do this. The government was going to do that. He advocated a five-year freeze on discretionary spending. I think we all agree that we've got to get a grip on the national deficit every year and do something about the national debt. But when push came to shove, he really didn't get into the nitty-gritty about what he was going to do. I think, in all fairness, from agriculture's perspective, probably the best thing about the president's speech last night was he didn't discuss this.
Now, he did, obviously, with that five-year freeze, and that kind of figures into what we might or might not be looking at regarding budget baseline and what will be available for you to put together for a 2012 Farm Bill. How do you see something like that on this discretionary spending playing out on our commodity and conservation titles, for example?
The chief challenge since the 08 Farm Bill has been to maintain the money that was committed to the mandatory programs, the commodity title, those kind of issues, and at the same time trying to make sure that the discretionary money, things like EQIP that started out mandatory and were rewritten almost on an annual basis by the appropriators, actually continue to be spent for the purpose. If he's talking about freezing existing levels, I've said for a long time in public and privately, if we just have the same amount of money to write the next Farm Bill in 2012 that we had to write the 08 Farm Bill, we'd be way ahead. Let's face it. Overall spending levels are going to come down in the House of Representatives in this regular year budget and next year's budgets also as we get a grip on that debt. The thing that will compel is just what's the number going to be available to us? And even if we could get close to what we had before, as many of our listeners well know, certain provisions of the 08 Farm Bill were crafted in a way where there's no baseline. There's no permanent stream of funding. So we're probably $6-8 billion short of doing what we did before if nothing else changes. And throw on top of that what our overall slice of the federal budget will be. So I guess short answer is the president's comments about freezing spending didn't concern me. It'd just be nice if we could freeze ag spending where it is right now.
I guess things like what CSPs are some of those multitude of programs that are in that boat of no baseline.
Exactly, that boat of no baseline and a substantial amount of money committed to them. We're just going to see when we get there next year. That's another reason it's important that we write the Farm Bill in the regular time schedule called for, which is the late spring, summer of 2012. If we were to be compelled to write a Farm Bill this year, as some had advocated earlier, at a time when commodity prices are at record high, at a time when the federal government is having record budget problems, we'd just be sliced and diced.
One thing from the State of the Union, Congressman, he talked about trade, talked about that he would have at some point be sending you the South Korean Free Trade Agreement, but he kind of he indicated that he wanted to rewrite Panama and Colombia.
That's unfortunate because all three of those agreements have been ready now for literally a year plus. It's time to take those up. I'm proud that he's willing to submit, apparently very shortly, the South Korean Free Trade Agreement with us. I personally believe that we don't need to rewrite Colombia and Panama. We just need to send those three agreements to us and let Congress have up or down votes. We can pass them in the House now. We have a different speaker and a different majority. And the pressure from having passed and the president asking for them, I think, would help sway the Senate. And they will make a real difference in a variety of agricultural commodity sales.
What's your game plan as chairman now that you've got your committee organized? You had your blessing of all the committee, subcommittee structure just yesterday. Where do you go now?
2011 in the U.S. House Agriculture Committee is the year of oversight. I think we're going to find in a good many areas that the proposed rules will not meet those standards and that they will reflect things quite simply that the administration knows Congress would never, ever pass, and therefore they're going to try and do by rule what they can't be done by law.
Regarding one of the issues that a lot of folks in this state and in our cattle industry are very interested in, exactly what USDA ends up doing with this marketing rule coming out of GPSA.
Exactly. This And we should all remind ourselves, no one here is talking about not following the law and not following it in a vigorous and enforced fashion. We all want transparent markets. We all want efficient markets. But the challenge on the GPSA stuff is there are many issues here in this very complex proposal where essentially USDA has ignored the decisions made on policy issues by the last three farm bill writing processes. They've ignored a half a dozen court cases that said USDA did not have the authority to do it, and they're attempting to move this kind of thing forward. We're going to get their attention, and hopefully they will acknowledge the spirit of Congress and step back for a moment.
Congressman, Farm Safety Net. I know that there's been a lot of talks. We've had several groups, American Farm Bureau, National Association of Wheat Growers, among others, that have kind of come out. And they seem to be saying at this point they want to kind of hedge their bets. They want to consider all these various Farm Safety Net tools.
Well, I don't blame my commodity producers. In a world where not only the climate, but the markets are in a constant state of gyration, trying to provide some sense of certainty when they deal with their bankers, when they address the needs of their families, of their business enterprises. I don't blame them a bit. But remember, when we sit down and look at all of these tools in the process of crafting the 2012 Farm Bill, the question becomes, how much money do we have, and how do we spend that money in a way that maximizes the return to rural American production agriculture? I've been saying to folks now for months and months and months, everything's on the table. Whether it's direct payments or SURE or ACRE or all of these programs, they're on the table. When the committee receives from the Budget Committee and the majority leadership the number a year and some months from now as to how much money we'll have to spend on the Farm Bill, then we're going to have to make the tough decisions. I think that many of the good things in the 08 Farm Bill are going to continue to be there. But there will be some things that will go away simply because we don't have the money to pay for it. We don't have the baseline.
Know that New York Times, strong editorial, they're of course, beating the table right now about direct payments. That's going to be a tough one to defend, isn't it?
Yes, and ironically, it's pretty brave when a newspaper in a town where we spent how many hundreds of billions of dollars on the financial service bailouts in the form of the TARP would now criticize the small amount of money that we spend in probably the most WTO-compliant form of investing in production agriculture, the direct payments. But once again, everything's on the line, and I promise you the very same people who will hound us about things like the direct payments will move on to hound us to something else, move on to something else after that. If you don't really understand the unique nature of agricultural economics, if you don't understand the rural economy, if you don't understand the international challenges or don't want to understand the international challenges of agricultural trade, then it's kind of difficult to understand why we have to have these resources committed if we're going to continue to make sure that every American, and for that matter, every consumer in the world, has a safe supply of affordable food and fiber, which, by the way, the American farmer and rancher is still the primary provider.
One last question, Congressman. That has to do with your forum of last week regarding trying to get along the coexistence concepts of USDA and Roundup Ready alfalfa specifically. You think you got the message delivered to the Secretary?
I hope so. The effort here was to say to the Secretary and the Department prior to what's expected to be a final announcement on Roundup Ready alfalfa that, hey, follow federal law. Follow the procedures that have been established for decades about determining what plant is a pest or what new technology might be a pest. And if the products follow the guidelines, if the science reflects the safety of the product, then allow it to be used. This creating a system by which you allow some modern agriculture and you'll preserve some old agriculture, and you create a differentiated system. We're not just talking about distances between farms that raise products. We're talking about commingling the results. We're talking about prohibitions on commingling the results, prohibitions on commingling the input, the seeds. Then you create a system that is just not going to be workable. Plus, what does it say to the rest of the world? Well, for 20 years, U.S. agriculture has aggressively pushed the trade agenda that using the latest science in the most efficient, productive way is in everyone's best interest. What does it say if we suddenly adopt the European model? That's frightening.
did have one other thing, Congressman. Senator Chambliss, Senator Roberts this morning sent a letter. They said to Mr. Sunstein over at Office of Information Regulatory Affairs, basically asking him to get serious about reviewing some of these regulations that are so costly to agriculture. I take it that you do fully agree with your Senate colleagues.
Exactly. The senators are right on the mark. They're right on the mark. When the president said a few days ago that perhaps we need to review the regulatory regime of the federal government, the fellow who's helped create mountains of these rules and regs, he was exactly right. And Senator Roberts and Senator Chambliss pursuing that point. And I would also say I look forward to having Senator Roberts be my colleague in the struggle in his role as ranking member, senior Republican on the Senate Agriculture Committee for this coming Farm Bill cycle.
Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee and 3rd District Congressman for the state of Oklahoma, Congressman Frank Lucas. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.